Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Daf Nun Hei. We begin at the Mishnah on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, so it's around 8 lines off the bottom. Now we proceed to something called Zivchei Shalom Etzibur. So, interestingly, typically a shlamim is a private, personal carbon. There is one exception called Zivchei Shalom Etzibur. Rashi says, Kivsei Atzeres, the ones that were being on Shavuos, together with the two breads, Shtei Alechem, come, two kvasim, two sheep, Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, which are considered shlamim. So it's the one and only public carbon shlamim offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So these karbanos, Zivchei Shalom Etzibur, and Va'ashamos, various carbon ashams, these are all considered, we're sort of continuing where we left off in the previous Mishnah, where we discussed the category of the grouping of karbanos called Kaddish HaKadoshim, the holiest, highest level karbanos. Likewise, these as well, the Shalom Etzibur and the Ashamos, are considered Kaddish HaKadoshim, and are more delicate karbanos, more sensitive to various types of deficiencies because they're a higher level. Okay, Eilu and Ashamos, let's get a printout of the various types of karbanos Asham, which we're not really going to go into detail here. We're just going to sort of label them. We have Asham Gezelos, we have the Asham Me'ilos, Asham Shivcha Harufa, Asham Nazir that Nazir brings, Asham that a Metzeder brings, and of course the Asham Tali, which we discussed many times, one that one brings when he's in a state of uncertainty whether he did a serious avera. All these are considered Kaddish HaKadoshim, and therefore Shchitas on Betzaf, and the Shchita takes place strictly on the north side of the Azara, like the other Kaddish HaKadoshim, like the Oila, like the Chatas, and likewise the Kabbalas Hadam, right, phase 2 of the Avodah, collection of the blood, V'kibul Daman, of course, in a Klishores, right, V'Klishores also takes place, but Safai. How do we apply the Dam of these Karbanis? So unlike the Karban Chatas, where the Dam is applied on four separate locations, on the four corners, this is more similar to the Karban Oila, which has a 2 which equal 4 type of application. So on the two opposite diagonal corners of the Mizbeach, you do one on this side, one on that side, and it sort of spreads in both directions like an L. V'dam unton shtei matanis shein arba, 2 which turn into 4. V'necholim l'fnim min ha'kloim, because they're considered kaddish ha'kadshim, in terms of the edible portion of the Karban, it's eaten inside the kloim, in this case it means the azara. L'zichar kihun, only the male members of the kahuna, b'chol machal, any recipe, you can roast it, you can cook it, liyam b'layla, for a day and a night, so the day of the hakrava, plus the following night, technically until the next morning. However, the chachamim set forth an early deadline, ad chatzos, until midnight, lest you come to stretch it beyond the next morning. So how do we know that in fact, the Zivchei Shalom Etzibur are shechted in the Tzafin of the Azor, if anything, say the Mefarshim, you would compare it to regular shlamim, a private shlamim, which doesn't have that restriction. It could be shechted anyway in the Azor. So why do these have to be done in Tzafin? Menolon deboi Tzafin. The answer is the Tani Rabba bar Rav Chanan. He presented a source kamei in front of the Rabba. Basisem zirizim echad achatos. So this is a pasuk regarding the the karbanis on Shavuos. So the pasuk begins with a reference to the chatos and continues ushnei kvasa b'nei shana lezevach shlamim, referring to our karbanis, the ones that are shlamim. So we have that connection within the same pasuk, right, between the zivchei shlamim of the Shavuos and the chatos. We connect ma chatos b'tzafin af shalom etzibur b'tzafin, just like a chatos is processed in the tzafan. Only likewise the shalom etzibur. Now, how do we know that a chatos, in fact, needs a tzafan? That was learned from the Oila. The Oila was the first source, the actual reference in the Torah where it says tzafan, and we connected the chatos to the Oila by way of a hekesh, and now we connect further Hekesh number two from Chatas to Shalmei Tzibur. Asked the Gemara, well, that's a double connection, a double export. You can't do that when it comes to halachas of Kachem, as we discussed. Amalei Rav, as Rav responded to the Chacham here, V'chei Chatas Meichan Lamda, where did the Chatas learn its Tzafin law from? Me'ayla, of course, from the Ayla. Well, then in that case, we're stuck. You can't do this double export. Dover Halamed Behekesh, Chayzer Malamed Behekesh. How could something like that was learned initially from a Hekesh? The Loch of Tzafin to Chatas from the Ayla cannot be turned around and exported to the Shalmei Tzibur. Ella, rather, we have another source. With the Tani Rav Mori Breit Avkana. We have a Pasuk in this week's Parsha, right? Bahaloscha. So you meant to play the trumpets on the days of Simcha, right? Al Oyla Yiseichem, Val Zivche Shalmeichem. See, we have a connection between Oyla and Shlomim. And this, of course, is referring to the public Shlomim, because the song, the Shira, the Beis HaMikdash only takes place when they pour the wine, which only happens, the Shira only happens during a public offering. So we have a connection between the Oyla and the public Shlomim. And we connect Ma Oyla Kadosh HaKadoshim, Av Zivche Shal Mitzibur Kadosh HaKadoshim, just like the Oyla is labeled as Kadosh HaKadoshim, highest form of Kedusha. Likewise, Zivche Shal Mitzibur have that designation as well. And further, Ma Oyla B'Tzafin, Av Zivche Shal Mitzibur B'Tzafin, in terms of Tzafin, just as Oyla has Tzafin, likewise, these carbonates as well. Okay, so that's going to be a direct connection between Shal Mitzibur and Oyla, to apply Tzafin to our case as well. Now the question is asked, so why that initial connection between Chatos, what the purpose of connecting Chatos to the Shalmei Tzibur? What function does that connection serve? Ella Akesha Kama, the first connection, Mayasa, what's that for? Ki Chatos, to connect the Shalmei Tzibur to Chatos regarding the form of consumption of the carbon. Ma Chatos Eino Nechelas Ella Lezichra Kuhuna, just like a Chatos, is only consumed by the male members of the Kuhuna. Av Zivche Shalmei Tzibur, likewise, this carbon, the Zichre Kuhuna, is only for the Zacharim of the Kuhuna. Amli Abaye. Ihachi. If that's the case, that the connection between Shalmei Tzibur and Chatos tells you it's only fed to the Zichre Kuhuna, let's take a look at another carbon in the Shlomin, that a Nazir brings at the conclusion of his process. Gabi Eil, it's a ram, Eil Nazir, which is a form of Shlomin, Tachsiv. We find that the Pasuk, in fact, also connects it to a, discusses it together with a Chatos. The Tachsiv, it says, V'yikir es karbon al Hashem, keves ben shnos yitam echad o'ilo, first is the o'ilo, v'kav se'achas b'shnos ha'tmim al Chatos, then comes the Chatos, and then comes the Shlomin, v'ayil echad tamim al Shlomin. So we seem to have a connection between the Shlomin and the Chatos. Here too, we're going to apply the same comparison and say, well, the Kishu HaKos of the Chatos turn out is connecting the Ayel Nazir to the Chatos to tell you Ma Chatos Ein Nachelas Elo L'Zichre Kuhuna, just like a Chatos only fed to the Zacharim of the Kuhuna of Ayel Nazir Nami. Likewise, the Ayel Nazir is limited to the Kehanim as well, Ein Nachel L'Zichre Kuhuna. But it's not so. We have a Mishnah later on that the Ayel Nazir is fed to anybody. How could you compare, says the Gemara? Awesome. Over there by the Ayel Nazir, which you're speaking of, we have another pasuk. Given the chsiv, v'loka hakoyin asazroya b'shelo min ha'ayel. I'll prove to you that in fact it's fed to anybody. Anybody can eat it. Why? Because the Torah points out that there's a portion called the zroya b'shelo, the forearm, that's going to be given to the kohen. Apparently only that belongs to the kohen. Mechlal de kuli, apparently the rest of the carbon, ba'alim achlehu, gets to the owner. So that's the Gemara. Okay, fine, granted. However, Zroya B'Shela Mil Loilis Achel, but at least the Zroya B'Shela should not be eaten by anybody except for Ela Zichre Kuhuna, only to the Zacharim amongst the Kayanim. Right? So at least that much, we can derive from the Hekesh, the connection to the Chatos, that at least that part should be given only to the Zacharim, just like the Chatos. It's only consumed by Zacharim Kashi. In fact, we leave it as a question unresolved. Iboyesemer. Another way to answer this question would be, why can anybody eat the Zroya B'Shela? Kod Shei Ikri. Kod Shei Gadashim La Ikri. Because we have the Pasuk which says, Kodesh Hu La Koyin. that the Zerai B'Sheila is holy for the Kohen. Kodesh means, you know, the basic level of Kedusha. Kachak Adashim it wasn't labeled Kachak Adashim. Torah is emphasizing that it's only Kodesh, and Kodesh can be eaten by anybody. So why are we giving the Zerai B'Sheila to anybody? Because the Torah indicates as such. Okay, so now back to the question. So why? What's the purpose of connecting him to the Chatas? If it serves no purpose, there's no halacha being learned from that connection. So why was there that connection between the Al-Nazar to the Chatas? What's it going to teach us? Amar Rava, it is coming to tell us something. So as we explained, the Nazar brings three karbonis at the culmination of his process, which allows him to then take a haircut, to access wine. The Oilah, the Chatas, and the Shlam. And the halacha is, as soon as he brings one carbon, even though he's meant to be three, but as soon as he brings one and it gets, processed, he's already okay. He has a green light to cut his hair. He has formally completed his Naziris process, even though he still has to finish the rest of the carbonis. But, the clock stops right there. Amar Rava, we learn from here, Shem Gilach al Echad Mishlashtan Yotza, if he took his haircut following one of the three karbanis, it's okay. It's a proper process. His yaitzi. He still has to bring the rest. And that's learned from the Hekesh. The fact that the Torah connects the Chatas, the Shlamim, tell you that just as by the Shlamim, Rashi points out, that certainly would be sufficient. The Shlamim itself is certainly the primary karban of the three. The fact is that he's instructed to take his hair and throw it under the pot. He used to cook the shlamim, burn in the fire under the pot. That's the main karban. And the pasuk says, "Va'achar yishte another yain." After doing this thing, we assume it means the shlamim, he can go drink wine. So one karban is enough. Just as the shlamim works, the chatas works as well. So one of the three karbanis is enough to formally conclude his process. Okay, so in summation, we learned about the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, the ones that were being on Shavuos, the public shlamims, which are considered Kachi Kadoshim, unlike a regular shlam, which is Kachim Kalam, that's Kachi Kadoshim. That was learned from the Hekesh between the Oila and the Shlamim over there, right? And it has to be done B'Tzafim. Regarding the Eil Nazir, however, the Pasuk tells us that it's actually meant for anybody. It's only the Zerai B'Sheila, which is meant for the Kohanim, and even there, it's called Kodesh, it's merely Kodesh, and pretty much anybody can eat it. We have a halacha that we do learn from this connection between Chatas and Shlamim, that one carbon, either one, will be enough to conclude, to formally bring his Naziris experience to its successful conclusion. Continues the mission. Now we shift gears from Kodesh Kadoshim, which was our topic of discussion until this point. Now we shift to Kachim Kalam, Karbanis, which occupy a lower, sort of a lower tier of Kedusha. The Toida, the regular Shlamim, etc. Says the Mishnah, Toida Be'El Nazir. Oh, El Nazir. Sounds familiar. Or the Toida, which is the carbon of Thanksgiving. These are a Kachim Kalam. And Rashi explains, there's no Me'ila. One diverts them for personal use. He hasn't committed Me'ila. They're merely Kachim Kalam. Shchitasim Chamakim Ba'Azorah. So the Shchita takes place anyway in the Azorah, not necessarily in the north of the Azorah, like the previous list of carbonates. Anywhere is okay. V'dam Anton Shtematan Hashen Arba. Their blood is applied to the Mizbeach in this 2 equals 4 system. But Nachalim Chalair, you can eat them anywhere in the city, not limited to the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash. Nachal Adam, anybody can eat them. Nachal Ma'achal, right? Any Yid, men, women, right? Even though they're not Kohanim. Nachal Ma'achal, any recipe you choose. Liyom B'yat Laila, now they have a short time span, unlike the regular Shlomo, which has a 2-day time span. Here it's a day and a night, so today and the following night. But technically until dawn, but Chachamim pushed it back at Chatzois. You have to stop at midnight. Hamura Mehem. Now, the portions that are lifted, so to speak, taken off separated and given to the Kehanim. So that's the chaza, you know, the chest area, and the shaykh, the one of the thighs, one of the you know. So these portions are given to the Kehanim, Kayutzemen, and in fact, they had the same status as the rest of the carb in terms of where to eat it and how long, you know, it could be eaten for. The only difference is they're given to the Kehanim as a gift. Rather, the difference is that the separated portions are nechal Kehanim, meant for the Kehanim. Then the Kehanim, their wives, their kids, even their slaves. It's not meant for non-Kehanim, only for Kehanim to eat. Tan Rabbanim. Es chazeh atnufa. V'sheikat truma toich l'mokam tar. This is the pasuk actually by the Miluim, when they inaugurated the Mishkan. So the Chazeh Atnufa and the Sheikat Truma are these portions that we discussed in the Mishnah that are separated from the Shlamim and are given to the Kehanim. In the Mishnah we learn, anywhere throughout the city is okay. You don't have to eat them in the Beis HaMikdash. How do we know? Because the pasuk says, Toichlu b'mokim tar. So you eat them in a mokim tar. In a place which is a tar. Now obviously, Amar Rechemya, why would I think otherwise? So you mean to say the other karbanos discussed in that, you know, in the context of that event, of the miluim, like the mincha there, the chatas, do we think those were eaten in an unholy place, in an impure place? Amar Rechemya, v'chi rishoinim betuma acholim. You mean to say the other ones, previously discussed, were eaten in a place of tuma? Can't be so. The pasuk there says, eat it near the mizbeach, right? Ella, rather the pasuk means like this. It's coming to tell you that kachim kalim, you can eat anywhere in the city. Ella tar mechlal shu tami. The word tar indicates that it's not completely tar. It needs to be somewhat tar. But there is an element of tumah as well, which means to say. So before we continue, there were basically three, right? There were three sort of territories. You know, in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, there was the Mishkan itself, which was Machne Shechina, place where the Shechina dwelled. Somebody with any element of tumah cannot enter there. We have the Machne Leviya, the encampment of the Leviim, which camped around, who camped around the Mishkan. That was the next area, let's call it area 2, right? So a person who's really, really tummy with a personal tumma, like a zav, a personally generated tumma, cannot enter there, but a person who touched a, contacted tumma from elsewhere, like touched a mace, touched a shah, can go to Machne Leviya. Further back was the Machne Yisrael, the encampment of the general, you know, community. So that was called Machne Yisrael, let's call that area, you know, 3. So even a tummy can enter that area, except for a mitzvah. A mitzvah has to be sent beyond all three machnes, out of everything. Okay, so mitzvah stays out of all three. A zav can enter area 3, but not area 2. A tamei meis can enter even area 2. Area 1 is totally pure, totally tahar. No entry allowed for any tummy. Okay, so back to us. So in the Mishnah we learned that a kachim kalim, a carbon can be taken in Yerushalayim, which is Area C, right? Area 3. Because in Yerushalayim, we had a similar, you know, corresponding system. The actual Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Hechel, the Azara, was considered Area 1, Machne Shechina. Further out, the Ezras Nashim and the Harabais was like Machne Leviya, Area 2. And Area 3 was Yerushalayim itself. That was like Machne Yisrael. So Machne Yisrael is suitable for Kachim Kalim. How do we know? From this pasuk says, take these materials, and take them into a makam, make sure it's somewhat tahar. Okay, so we learn, elo, tahar mechlal shu tami. Tahar means not entirely tahar, not the most holy place, somewhere in the middle. A place that can be accessed even by, you know, people with a lighter, experiencing some lighter form of tumah. Which means tahar mitumas mitzera, but tami mitumas meis. It's free of any mitzera, of that type of tumah. But it's tamei mituma zav. It has, you know, the presence of tuma zav. What's that? Which area is that? That's area 3. Ve'ezeh, which area is that? The Machne Yisrael. That's where the Machne Yisrael was, which was free of any Mitzvah issues, but had Tumas Zav. And there is where you're going to eat your Kachem Kalam. Right? Because this Chazei and Sheikh was taken from the Shlomo, which is Kachem Kalam. So that's how we learn that Kachem Kalam can be eaten anywhere in Machne Yisrael, i.e. throughout Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, who says? Maybe you're going a bit too far. Maybe bring it into Machne Levia, area 2. Ve'ema, perhaps you can say, yeah, sure, Tar Metumas Zav, V'tom Metumas Meis. Pasuk is allowing the material to be eaten in between area. Okay, but who says out in area 3, maybe area 2, which has Tumas Meis, presence, but not Tumas Zav. Ve'ez is it. So what's that area? Is it Machne Levia? Okay, maybe you got to be in area 2. Amar Abaye, no. Omar Kor, the Pasuk says like this. So when it comes to the leftovers of the mincha by the miluim, which is kachi kachim, it says v'achaltem oisa v'makom kadosh. Make sure to eat this one in a holy place, in the holiest place, a machna shchina. And we learn only this one is limited to machna shchina to area 1. Oisa v'makom kadosh. V'leches v'makom kadosh. But the other one, like the breads of the toida, kachim kalim, you don't have to be here in the azara. You can be out in the next encampment. You can go down to level 2. Apka. The Pasuk now sent it out. L'machna Leviyah to allow Kachem Kalam and Machna Leviyah. We're not done yet. So we're already pushed out one. Now comes the next Pasuk. Hadar. Then the Pasuk comes around and says, regarding the Chazi Atnufa, right, which is also Kachem Kalam, oh, but Makam Tar, make sure it's somewhat Tar. Oh, you can go out even further. Apka L'machna Yisrael. Now he pushed it out to the next level, to area 3, Machna Yisrael. That's what we know. Kachem Kalam are okay in Machne Yisrael. Rav Amar, Rav came with a different angle on this drasha. So we begin with that pasuk by the mincha, which is kachi kachim. Make sure to eat this one in the holiest place, Oisa. Only this one, makim kadosh, in the area 1. V'lo yacharis, makim kadosh. But the other ones can be further out. Apka l'gamri. The Torah basically sent it out completely, beyond all three territories, even outside Yerushalayim. Hold it one second. Now comes the pasuk and says, no, not so far. Hold because Rachmana. That's what the Torah comes back and says, no, you went a little too far. Hold because Rachmana, toichel makom tor, make sure to eat in a makom tor, which means to say, don't go all the way out where the Mitzrayim are. I go to Machne Yisrael. Now the Torah brought her back, imported her back into Machne Yisrael, area 3. So initially he was sort of sent beyond everything, then came back to area 3. Ask the Gemara on Rav's Pshat, Ve'ema Ailul Machne Leviyah. Maybe when the Torah, brought him back in, it meant to area 2. Who says stop at area 3? Well, l'chada ma'ilinan. We only have a right to bring him back one step from beyond all three into area 3. L'tarat l'ma'ilinan, rather than bring him back two steps, we have no right to do that. Yoch yapuki nami. So then, if you can't do two steps at a time, so let's go back. The first pasuk, according to Rav, told you, send it all the way out. All the way beyond all three. What right do you have to send them all the way out in one shot? Got to do one level at a time, right? Yach, if that's the case, you have to be incremental. Likewise, when it comes to sending him out, which was the initial, thinking, the traditional direction, you only have a right to take him out, from one territory, one level down. Rather than take him down two levels, or completely out of Machne Yisrael, void further. Furthermore, how could you even entertain the thought that you can take Kachem Kalam all the way out of Yerushalayim and consume it there? The pasuk says you can't. The pasuk says you can't take all these karbanes outside and take it to your cities. It's got to be in Yerushalayim. So we veer away from Rav's source and go back. Ela machvarta k'dabai. Rather, the correct approach seems to be Abai's approach. But in any case, conclusion is the same. Kachem kalam materials can be consumed anywhere in Yerushalayim. What's another example of kachem kalam? Shlomim, says the Mishnah. Shlomim is also Kachem Kalam. Shchita asan chamakam ba'azara. You can have them anywhere in the Azara. You can shech them anywhere. V'da ma'antan ashtem ha'tana shein arba. And you do that 2x4 type of blood application. Necholim chalir. You can eat them throughout the city of Yerushalayim. Chaladim, anybody can eat them. Even non-kohanim. Chal machal. any which way you decide to eat them, whether cooked, roasted. Oh, Shlomo has an extended time frame, 2 days and a night. So the day of the Shechita, the following night, and then the following day. Hamur mehem, what about the parts that are separated from the Shlomim and given to the Kayanim? Chazav v'shoik. Have the same status as the Shlomim in terms of where to eat and how to eat it. Kayetz mehem. Ella, rather, it's just a question of who it's given to. Shamura mehem, nechal kayanim. These gifted portions are meant for the kayhanim, l'nasheyem, l'vneyem, l'avdeyem, to their families, their wives, their kids, and even their avadim kananim, because they're, avadim of a kind, they have a right to access truma and all these things. Okay, so the Mishnah speaks about the shlomim being shechted anyway in the Azorah. What's the source for that halach? Tanur Rabbanan. So in fact, we do find three psukim regarding location of the shechita of the shlamim. We have ushchate pesach oyel moed. Pesach means opposite the doorway of the oyel moed. Well, in the Mishkan it meant the Mishkan, and in the Beis Hamikdash it meant the heichal, which is called the oyel moed. Number two, v'shachat oisig lefnei oyel moed. Number three, v'shachat oisig lefnei oyel moed. So one is by the cattle, one is by the sheep, one is by the goat. So three times, by a shlomim, there's a Torah mentioned that it's done lefnei oyel moed. Now, what do we learn from all these psukim? L'achshir es kol aruchos b'kachim kalam. This allows you to shecht kachim kalam anywhere throughout the Azara. You're not limited to tzafin, like the kachi kadosh. What about, actually, if he decides to do kachi kachim in tzafin? Can he? Or is that reserved only for... if he decides to do a shlom, kachim kalam and tzafin, can he? Or is it only reserved for kachim kadosh? What would you say? It says the Gemara, kal v'chaymer, well, tzafin, of course. It's a simple piece of logic. That one is allowed to bring a shlomim and tzafin as well. Why? Uma kachim kadosh. Shloi huchshu. V'chal aruchas, even kadosh kadosh. Which is not enabled in all the areas. They're limited. You can't just do them any way you want. Still, hukshur b'tzafin, you can do them in tzafin. Certainly, kachim kalam, which is a much broader realm of possibilities, much broader territory. Shukshur b'chaluruch, do it any way you want, east, west, north, south. And then certainly, wouldn't you agree? Shukshur b'tzafin, certainly you can bring them in tzafin. So according to Tanakhama, it's plain simple logic. You don't have to have a special source to allow a shlamim in tzafin. If you can do it in Dorim and Mizrachim, of course you can do it in tzafin as well. Rav Oimer says no. No, actually, we do need a pasuk to allow a shlomim to be shechted in tzafin. Because, Tanakhama was working with the notion that tzafin is like, it's like more holy. So if I can do the shlom anywhere, certainly tzafin. Rav Lezer looks at it more like a location type of thing. Well, you belong here, you belong there. So perhaps each one has his own distinct, unique location. Kadosh Gadashim of Tzafin, maybe Kadosh Kalam can't have Tzafin. Lezo Aymer, that's why you need a special pasuk. Lenemar Akasav, one of these three psukim mentioned, are coming Elo Lachshir Tzafin to allow Shlomim and Tzafin. Why? I would think that, otherwise I would think it's not allowed. Shiachal, because otherwise I would say, Valedinu, based on Akal V'chemer, I would disallow Tzafin for Shlomim. Why Oma Kadosh Kalam? Because even kachim kalam, like a shlam, were allowed to be brought anywhere in the Azara, east, west, south. It's a kachim kadashim. Still, their location is not suitable for kachim kadashim. So, despite the fact that they have such a broad access, broad allowance, broad territory, we still don't allow Kachi Kadashim in there. Certainly Kadosh Kadashim Shalihukshur El B'Tzafin, certainly Kachi Kadashim should have only a limited territory, only in Tzafin. I would think that perhaps we can't allow the Shlomim in there. That's reserved for the Kachi Kadashim. Anyway, then wouldn't you agree? Shalihukshur Mekayman, it's the Kachim Kalam, that you can't use that place for Kachim Kalam. That's why we need a special pasuk to allow Tam Leimar. Comes the pasuk Ushchotei Pesach Oyel Moed, Lefnei Oyel Moed. We have three psukim. One of them was going to tell us that we allow a shlomim into tzafin as well. Okay, so what are these three psukim? And how did, you know, each opinion arrange them? But Mike, so what's Machlokes about? Basically, the question is, you know, Rabbi Lezer used one of these psukim, as we just mentioned, for the purpose of teaching us that Shlomim is okay in suffering. So what does the Tanakhama do with that extra pasuk, which according to him is not really needed for this purpose, because he learns it simply out of simple logic? Maika Miflikis, what's Machlokes about? Tanakhama Sover, Tanakhama holds, Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. Okay, we have three psukim, that's the starting point. And what's the purpose? Number one, Chad, one pasuk, Lugufei, Nibai Pesach Oyel Mayed. First one is just to tell you the actual halacha. As we're going to see coming up soon, we need Pesach Oyel Mayed. You can only shecht a shlomim once the Mishkan has been erected, once you have the Pesach, the entryway, up and running, and likewise in the Beis HaMikdash, where they didn't take apart the Beis HaMikdash on a regular basis, but the point here is that the Pesach of the Hechel has to be open. The doors have to be swung open. If you do the Shechita before, in early morning, before they unlocked and opened, it's Pesach. That's the first Pesach. The Nebuyah Pesach Oyel Mayed. The next Pesach, Lefnei Oyel Mayed, is coming to tell us, V'chad L'Hachshir Tzadim. Not only if you're directly in front of the Pesach and you Shecht, even off to the side, it's also fine. V'chad L'Fsal Tzidit Tzadim. Third Pesach is telling us, hold it. Tzadin is okay. So, basically, if you have the Heichel, right, in front of you, and you're standing, the Heichel was to the west, I'm in the east. So, if I'm even if I'm off to the right or to the left, but if I'm in front of the Heichel area, okay, that's fine. What about, you know, behind the Heichel? What about if I'm in a side chamber off to the side? That's no good. V'chad livsel, tzidei tzadin, that's called tzidei tzadin, the side is too far removed. Disconnected from the Heichel doorway, it doesn't relate to the, so that's not suitable for Kachim Kalim. But regarding to allow Shlomim and Safin, with Safin, we don't need a Pasuk for that. Because if he's okay anywhere, he's certainly okay in Safin. That's Tanakam. Rav Lezer says, Rav Lezer holds, Chad Lugufei. First Pasuk is for its, you know, basic halacha, as we explained, that the doorway has to be open. Second pasuk is needed to allow tzafin, because Chantra Beleza was not something you would just, you know, figure out on your own. Third pasuk is to allow off to the sides. Even if you're not directly in front of the doorway, it's okay. Regarding Betzidet Tzadon, to disallow the chambers and behind, we don't need a pasuk for that. It's just obvious when it says Lefnei in front, it disallows. You know, when you're off to the, you know, far side. Okay, ask the Gemara. So let's sort of analyze the first pasuk. Why this difference in phraseology? Here it says Pesach Oyel Moed, whereas in the other psukim, it doesn't say Pesach. It simply says Dechsev Lefnei Oyel Moed. What's the emphasis on Pesach, the doorway? We're learning the Allah Shlomim Sheshchot. Koidim Shepaschu Dasas Hechel. You shechted the Shlomim early in the morning before they opened the doors of the Hechel. Psulim. It's possible. Shanama Veshchotai. Pesach Oyel Moed. Pesach teaches us the doorway has to be open, accessible. Bizman Shu Pasuach, when it's open. Veloy, but not Bizman Shu No, when it's closed up. It's Menam. We will find the same Allah. In the name of different Amiroim. Amar Marukvam Baruchham, Amar Reshvachanina, Shlomim Sheshchotan Koidim Sheposcho Das Aechel Psulim. If you do it before they open the door, the Posch Namar, Veshchotai Pesach Aechel, we learn, Bizman Shu Hechel Pasuach, Shepesach Aechel Pasuach, only when it's open, but not, Veloi Bizman, when it's still closed, so no. We have another source of the same halach, Marav Amas Nihochan, I said, they had a different version, Amar Reshvachan Acham, Ravashi, Shlomim Sheshchotan Koidim Sheposcho Das Aechel Psulim. We do the Shchitah before they open the door, it's possible. We have a Mishkan, and regarding the Mishkan, which had no doors, actually only had like a curtain, so there you have to be careful. Make sure to wait until they set up the Mishkan, because when they traveled, they assembled it, right? Disassembled it. And when they came to their, you know, resting place, they reassembled. You have to wait until it's up and running. But Mishkan, koidim shiyamidu levim sa'mishkan, before levim reassembled the Mishkan, you cannot do the Shechita. Or once they disassembled, olacha shifarka levim sa'mishkan. At that point, you cannot bring a shlamim, and if you do, the shlamim are pisul. Now, when we speak about open doors, just unlocked, or actually physically swung open, pshita, it's clear that mugav, if it's still physically closed, even though it's unlocked, k'no'ol domi, it's treated like no'ol, which means to say, it doesn't qualify. It has to be physically swung open. What if it's physically swung open, but there's a sort of a privacy curtain, like they had a privacy curtain by the heichal. Vilan mai, what's the status of a vilan? It's still considered open or not? Amar abzera, who adds my inase, ela kapasa pasuach. The whole point of the vilan does not change its status. It's still considered pesach pasuach, but only made for privacy. It's not really a true obstruction. It's still considered open. What about if there is an obstruction, a piece of furniture sitting in front of the door? Theoretical question, right? Would that be considered a disconnector or not? Goyiv hamay. Toshmai comes at right. The sound, we have a brice. So let's take a look at the diagram, the bottom left corner, in the Rashi on bottom. So it's going from, if you look up, right, from the bottom up, so you're starting at the east, Mizrach, working your way up through the Azora. Then you encounter the Ulam, which sort of, is the entryway to the Hechel, which takes you up to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now you'll notice that the Ulam protrudes, right, reaches out from the right, from the left, beyond the more narrow Hechel. So those extra protrusions were called Beis HaChalifos. They left their knives there, the Kehanim, that was meant for storing Big Day Kahuna. In any case, that's the way it was configured. And when we speak about, where to bring the Shlomim, so certainly in front of the Ulam, right? So the Azori area, which was to the east of the Hechel Ulam construction, was certainly okay, and even off to the sides, to the right and left of the entry, like we said, that's called Stadim. What about behind? Okay, so if you sort of make your way around those protrusions and sort of wrap your way to the back, right? So what happens to that? You would consider that to be Tzidei Tzadim, off to the side, which is disconnected from the front, view of you're out of view. You're not direct, line of view to the entry to the Ulam and the Eichel, right? So how does that work? How do they enable the entire Azorah for Karbonis? Certainly on Erev Pesach would come to good use when they had an abundance, a multitude of Karbonis. So the Brisa said, Bryce says they had a solution. They made these little mini doorways, called it a pishpish, a little access door, which was built into those protrusions. Off to the side. So they would make these little access doors, which would now be considered, which would enable the area to be used for shlamim, because now those areas are considered connected by way of these passageways to the interior of the ulam, and by extension to the hechol, and would be considered pesach oyel moed. Okay, let's see the brayso. Toshma, the sanya b'yisib da'imer shnei pishpishin hoy pesach lifes. So the pesach lifes, as we discussed, are these protrusions to the right and left of the more narrow hechol structure, and they had these pishpishin, these little access doors, one on either side, v'goiva shmoina, and there was a goiva. The Gemara understands this to mean there was some sort of obstruction in front of that doorway, which was 8 amas high. And the point of these pishpishin was kedei lahachshir es azara kula, to turn the whole azara into suitable territory for bringing of a shlamim, lachilas kadosh kadoshim, to eat Kaddish HaKadoshim in that area. The Gemara will later explain what this means. And v'lishchitas kachim kalam, for shchitav kachim kalam, because then they're not considered directly, connected to the Oyel Moed, Lefnei Oyel Moed. My life, we're assuming that the words v'goy v'ashmoina means diku kamayu goy v'ashmoina, there was something in front of these access doors, some sort of something sitting there, which was 8 amas high. Apparently, an obstruction doesn't really make a disconnect. And that resolves our question. Then, well, no, loy, the Gviyu Inu Shmoina. All the Brisa meant was that the doors themselves were constructed in this manner. They were 8 amas high, but they were unobstructed, open, and unblocked, in which case you had full view of the hulam through these doorways, in which case you consider Pesach, lefnei oyel moed. Maybe here comes a kasha. How can you say the doorways were 8 amos high? All doorways in the Beis Hamikdash were way higher. They were 20 amos high. It was a standard size for all doorways. Maybe kol hasharim shayisham, all the entranceways, all the goyvan esrim amos, v'roichban esrim amos, they were 20 amos high, 10 amos wide. So how can you tell me, how can you talk about 8 amos? Pishpish and shani. Yeah, that's your standard door. This is a pishpish, a little access, a mini door, which wasn't really meant for, entry and exit. It was just meant to be machshah the azara. So a mini door is enough. Ask the Gemara, okay, you've resolved you've sort of incorporated some area now because of these pishpishin. Because we're assuming, let's just go back to that diagram, we're assuming that the pishpish was facing Tzafon and Dorim. So for instance, on the protrusion off to the right, towards Tzafon, the pishpish was located on the Tzafon wall of that protrusion, facing directly Tzafon. And likewise, on the other side, left side, which is facing Dorim, the pishpish was located on the in the middle of that little mini wall facing Dorim. So very well. So now if you're standing on either side, right, you're standing opposite that pishpish on the Tzafon side or on the Dorim side opposite the pishpish of Dorim, you're good. What if you go a little further back to the west, beyond the bend, and certainly beyond the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're out of sight, you're out of access, you're out of view. How could you use those areas? And the Brisa seems to indicate that this okay the entire Azara. How? Well, you could start them. What about the sides? The answer is the Pasach Lo B'Keren Zavis. Unlike, what we thought that the Pishpish was facing Tzafon or facing Dorim, it was actually built at the corner. So again, let's take a look from east to west. We're walking up to the Ulam. Let's take that right over to the protrusion. The Pishpish wasn't located until you got to the back corner of that protrusion. So it would be considered like, how do I best describe this? It would be like the Tzafon Ma'ariv corner of that protrusion. Right? So now it was facing on a diagonal. And basically anywhere you stood, even behind that protrusion, right, you were exposed to that pishpish, which gave you sort of visual access. And now you consider connected to the interior of the Heichal structure. Okay, that addresses pretty much everything except for when you're dead back behind that Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you're all the way back there, there's no way you can even see this, this strategically built pishpish off to the corner. You're beyond reach. Achoyre Beis HaKapiras, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was called Beis HaKapiras. That's where the Arun and the Kapiras was. What do you do over there? My Tashma, the answer is there was another access doorway over there. Because, you see, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, everything here had chambers. The Heichal HaKadoshim had these little chambers surrounding it. As discussed in the Mishnayis and Talmud Midas, right? So behind the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was like a chamber. And from that chamber, there was a little access door to the empty space, which was actually 11 amos, beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then comes, by the way, the wall of the Harabayis, the western wall, which we call today the Kaisel, right? So that area was again considered connected to the interior by way of this additional access door between that empty space and the chamber, which was alongside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tashma, we have another solution for that. The Amar Rav by Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Lul, a little window of some sort, cut a little window, a little opening between that ta, the chamber, Achore, Beis HaKapores, beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim, over to the Azara area beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Gevoy Shmoin Amos, again it was 8 Amos high, Kedah Hachshir Azara, again that was Machshir, that legalized, so to speak, that space for Shechita of Karbonis. And that corresponds with the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Shnayim, there were two guards, la par bar. They were standing by the par bar. What does that mean? Mai. So it's referring to that little entry just discussed. Mai LaParbar. Why was it called this? Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Commander Amar, it's as though it's saying Klapi Bar. LaParbar means Klapi Bar, facing the exterior. Okay, so this was like beyond everything. The Shomrin that was sitting there were beyond everything. Beyond all the action, beyond the Eichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all the way in the back. Okay, so that's the entry that we're talking about. And that solves everything. So now we have the whole entire Azara suitable for Kodesh HaKalim Shechita, because in the front, you're either directly opposite the Eichel entry or off to the side, which is also fine. If you're behind, off to the side of the protrusion, or behind the protrusion, that's addressed by the pishpish, which was located at an angle. And then if you're standing really beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have the extra access door as well. And now you're good for Shechita HaKalim. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.